This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Internet.
What?
Okay, I think we are back. Can you guys just let me know in the chat if we are actually back? Or not. I think we should be back. Inshallah. Leave me number one. So it seems that we're live again. Can you guys just let me know in the chat if we are actually live? And the thing is, my chat isn't working now. I don't know how to do this. Bismillah. Okay, right. So the previous chat have actually, chat messages have gone. I apologize for that. It seems like my internet connection dropped. Can you guys still hear me? Can you let me know if you can hear me? Let me know in the chat if you can hear me now and see me. Can you guys let me know if you can hear me? Okay, everyone's saying all good. Okay. I don't know if this is going to be a different video or the same video. I have no idea how this works. I apologize for that. The connection disappeared, or the internet connection, we lost connection. So there are five rulings, all right? Going back to five rulings, right? Number one, wajib and fard, and the opposite of that is haram. Number two, mustahab, and the opposite of that is makruh. And number three is mubah. And then makruh haram. Okay, so wajib, mustahab, mubah, makruh haram. Is everybody clear on that? What these five things are? All right, so just summarize, just in case it didn't come through properly. Wajib, if you do it, you're rewarded. If you don't do it, you're liable to sin. Haram, if you do it, you are liable to sin. And if you don't do it, for the sake of Allah, you're rewarded. So those two are opposites. Mustahab, if you do it, you're rewarded. If you don't do it for the sake of Allah, if you don't do it, you are not sinful. The opposite of that is makruh. If you do it, you're not sinful. But if you leave it for the sake of Allah, you refrain from it for the sake of Allah, then you are rewarded. And then in between mubah, doing it or not doing it is the same. It's neither rewarded nor punished in and of itself. So I hope that's clear, inshallah. So now everything in the dunya has one of these five rulings, right? So obviously salah, the obligatory prayers, they are fard, or you know, fard, or they can come under wujub as well. Drinking wine and getting intoxicated is of course haram. These are mentioned in the Quran. And there are lots of different things, right? Mustahab, as we mentioned, doing your sunnah prayers. Voluntary fasting, giving voluntary charity, all of these are mustahab, they're recommended. If you do it, you're rewarded. If you don't do it, you're not sinful. Makruh, things like looking around in your prayers, okay? Wearing a garment that is completely and fully red, as an example, right? These things are makruh. And then mubah, for example, using a camera, or, you know, drinking from this glass, this cup is mubah, okay? So these are the five different things. Okay, let me just... All right, so we're still live, it seems. So now the question comes is, what about smoking? Right? Where does smoking come into this? Well, the first point to understand, so the first point we've already understood that everything falls into one of five categories, one of five rulings. The second thing to understand is that the general rule with regards to the dunya is that everything is halal, is mubah, until proven to be otherwise. Okay, the default ruling is that everything is mubah, halal, permissible, until proven otherwise. So you need proof to make it haram, or to make it makruh, or to make it mustahab, or to make it wajib. All right? Otherwise, everything in the dunya, by default, the default state is what? Is mubah. So if someone says, okay, what's the ruling on using a mobile phone? We would say the default ruling is what? Is mubah, is permissible. Unless we have a text from the Quran and Sunnah or from other means, which I will show you, which would allow or which would change the ruling or which would take the ruling away from being mubah to one of the other four rulings, right? I'll give you an example, okay? If we take, driving a car, it is mubah, unless proven to be one of the other four rulings, right? So let's take smoking. Let's look at smoking. Let's figure out what is the ruling with smoking. So this brings us to the third point, and that is that the Quran and Sunnah is there. They are there for us, and Islam is there for us until the end of times. They're not just there for the 6th century. They're not just there for the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. The Quran and Sunnah have mechanisms in place for us to learn the rulings about things that, you know, come up later on in life. You know, later on, 5, 6, 7, 14 centuries after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what are these mechanisms? There are a number of different mechanisms. One of those mechanisms is a procedure called qiyas, which in English means analogy, right? It means analogy. So the basis of this analogy comes back to one thing, that Allah is al-adl. He is, you know, just. So he will not differentiate between two things that are similar. And I'll give you an example of this, right? Qiyas basically looks at things that were not explicitly mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah or Ijma', and however, we need to figure out a ruling for that. So we might turn to qiyas. And the Prophet ﷺ himself taught the Sahaba or indicated how to make qiyas. So for example, when a woman, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked that, you know, can I do hajj on behalf of, or also, so, you know, can I do hajj on behalf, or must I do hajj on behalf of someone who's deceased, a parent who's deceased, because they didn't do hajj? So the Prophet ﷺ, he replied, if he had a debt, would you not pay it off? The woman said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ went on to say, فَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ بِالْوَفَى. So it is more important to fulfill the debt that is owed to Allah. In other words, the hajj. Okay, so this shows the importance of hajj, by the way. So the Prophet ﷺ here is making an analogy of hajj with a debt. So that obligatory hajj, if you don't do it, then one of your children, for example, should perform that hajj on your behalf if you pass away. If you had the ability to do it, of course, in your lifetime. So that is so the Prophet ﷺ here is showing qiyas. He's making an analogy between hajj and a debt. So what is qiyas? Qiyas, in essence, I'm going to give you an example. An example works really well here in explaining qiyas. I'm going to try and simplify things. Of course, there are many details here that I can't mention in this short video. But, you know, I'm going to try and explain this in a simple way, inshallah, so that everyone can understand. But just let me know in the chat box below whether everything is clear so far, okay? So what is qiyas? Qiyas has four pillars, right? There are four things. I can't move my thumb away. Let me try this hand. Four pillars, all right? Number one, the usul. Number two, the fara. Number three, the hukum. Number four, the illah. All right? Four things. We're going to explain each of these four things, right? Number one is the asl. This is the original thing that we are making an analogy with. It's the thing that is mentioned clearly in the Quran and the Sunnah. Right? This is called the what? The asl. I'm just checking we're still live. Okay, we are still live. Last time I was talking and I didn't realize we disconnected. Right, so that's the asl, all right? So number one, the asl. That is the original thing that is mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Number two is the far. And the far is the new thing. The new thing, right? That we're trying to find a hukum for. We're trying to find a ruling for that thing. Number three is the hukum of the original thing, which is the ruling. And number four is the illah, the reason for that, the reasoning behind that ruling, which is in Latin is known as ratio decidendi. So I'll give you an example to make this clear. Let's take wine, which is explicitly mentioned in the Quran, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Keep away from it so that you may be successful. Allah calls it rijs. And the word khamar in the Arabic language literally means grape wine. It's specific to grape wine. However, and Allah uses that word khamar in Arabic for grape wine. So if we took the linguistic meaning, we would say, okay, all the other types of wine are allowed, like date wine or, you know, other types of alcohol might be allowed, right? If we took that linguistic meaning. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrin haram. Everything that intoxicates is a khamar, and every khamar is haram. So the Prophet ﷺ has defined khamar differently to how the language defines khamar. The Arabic language defined khamar as grape wine. But the Prophet ﷺ in the religion, he has defined khamar as being, you know, all types of intoxicant, all right? Which also includes weed, it includes, you know, smoking marijuana, it includes glue sniffing, it includes sniffing petrol or paint or anything that intoxicates, any type of intoxication. The Prophet ﷺ, by this scriptural text of the Sunnah, he has made it clear, kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrin haram. Every muskir, every intoxicant is a khamar, and every khamar is haram. All right, so he's defined the khamar, the word khamar in the religion of Islam, to be different from the language. And this is the same as salah, for example. The word salah in the language just simply means dua, supplicating. But that's in the language. But in Islam, it refers to, you know, when you start with Allahu Akbar, you know, and those sets of actions, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and all the other salahs that we have, that is what is meant by salah in the religion of Islam. So if someone simply says, you know, oh Allah, give me money, or give me this, give me that, give me Jannah, he does that five times a day, he supplicates, and he says, oh, salah in the language means dua. No, this is not acceptable, because we must implement the word salah in the religion, right? According to the religious meaning when it comes to the religion. An example of this is, imagine if you are in an aeronautical engineering class and you've been asked to design a wing, and then you draw, you know, you've been told you must draw a wing, and you go and draw the wing of a bird. Of course, you're not going to get the marks, because it is understood that you have to talk in context of an aeroplane. So it means the wing of an aeroplane, all right, in that context. So the word khamar in Islam refers to what? All intoxicants. But imagine if that hadith wasn't there. Right, if that hadith, kullu muskirin khamr wa kullu khamrin haram, for the exercise of trying to understand the concept of qiyas, imagine if that hadith wasn't there, right, that every intoxicant is a khamr and every khamr is haram, then khamr would still remain, at that point it would only refer to grape wine. Okay, so if that's the case, for the purpose of this exercise to understand qiyas, let's look at weed, right, or marijuana. We look at marijuana and say, okay, is it haram, or is it, you know, what's the ruling on marijuana? We could do qiyas. And we would look at these four things of qiyas. So number one is the asl. What is the asl? It is khamar, grape wine, or wine. What is the ruling on khamar? It is haram. It is what? It is haram. What is the... it is haram to consume. Why is khamar haram? So we've talked about the asl. We've talked about the hukum, the ruling of khamar is to consume it is haram. And number three, the reason, the ratio decidendi, the illa, the reason why khamar is haram. It is haram, not because it's wet, not because of its color. It is haram, لِأَنَّهُ يُخَامِرْ الْعَقَلِ. Yani it, the word khamar comes from khimar. Khimar is a headscarf that women wear, right? It covers. And the word khamar, you know, it's called khamar because it's like a hijab. It's like a scarf, or it's like a barrier between you and your aql, right? It makes, it's a barrier to the aql, right? يَحْجِبْ الْعَقَلِ or يُخَامِرْ الْعَقَلِ. It removes your intellect. Not removes, but it... There's a barrier behind your intellect, in front of your intellect, rather. So the reason that khamar is haram, the reason is why, it's not because it's wet, it's not because it's color, because of its color, it's because it intoxicates. Then we look at the far'a. If the far'a is what? Is weed or marijuana. Then we look at this marijuana, this is the far'a, and we say, does it have the same illa? Does it have the same ratio decidendi? Does it have the same, that quality that makes that asl have that hukum? Does it have that quality of intoxication? Yes, it does. It does. So therefore, it must have the same hukum. It must have the same, what? Ruling. All right? So therefore, we conclude conclusively that marijuana or weed is haram. Okay? But what about smoking? Can we do the same process? Now, of course, with marijuana and weed, it's haram anyway by the hadith, which is kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrin haram. As I mentioned, that all intoxicants, every intoxicant is a khamr and every khamr is haram. That explicitly includes marijuana, weed, etc. Right? Very clear. But now the question comes, what about smoking? Smoking. We look at these things again. Can we make qiyas? Can we make an analogy with khamar? Let's have a look. We said the asl is khamar, wine. The ruling is it's haram, the hukum. The illa, the reason of that ruling, the reason why it's haram is what? Is because it's an intoxicant. Does smoking intoxicate you? No, it doesn't. It doesn't intoxicate you. So we say that based on this qiyas, we cannot say it's haram. Based on this qiyas. And so it goes back to the original ruling, which is everything in the dunya is halal, mubah, until proven haram. Because Allah says in the Quran, هو الذي جعل لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. He is the one that has made for you everything in the earth. So based on this qiyas, we cannot say that it is haram. Because this is not a valid qiyas. Because smoking does not intoxicate, so it does not have the same ruling as khamar, which is haram, based on this analogy. However, maybe we can make an analogy with something else. Let's have a look. Can we make an analogy with, let's say, slow killing poison? Right? What is the ruling on poison? Poison, slow killing poison, or poison that harms you, even if it doesn't necessarily kill you. What is the ruling on that? It is haram. What is the ruling on that? It is haram. That's the hukum. Why? What's the proof of that? Allah says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Do not harm yourselves with your own hands. Right? Don't use your hands to lead yourselves into destruction. And also, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. There is no harm nor reciprocating harm. So based on these two pieces of evidence and more, we can say clearly that slow killing poison is haram. Okay. Number three, what's the reason for this hukum? What's the illa behind it? The reason for why slow killing poison is haram is what? It is, the reason is because it harms you. It harms you a lot. All right. And so then we look at a cigarette. Does it also have the same illah? Does it have the same ratio of dasidandi? Does it have that same quality that makes slow killing poison haram or poison that harms you haram? Yes, it does. In fact, at the back of the cigarette packets in many countries, it says smoking kills. Even one cigarette, you can go on YouTube and you can check the experiments. Even one cigarette has a huge impact on your lungs, okay? So based on this, it is very clear that smoking is haram according to the stronger view among the ulama. And Allah mentioned very clearly, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't, you know, use your hands to lead to destruction. Right? In another, in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. There should be nothing that you do, you know, there should be no harm nor any reciprocating harm. Okay, we'll take any questions. If you have any questions, you can write them in the chat now. My tea's got cold. So brother, so Alfrada is saying that when they were younger, they went for Hajj, and I was planning that when I reach 55 or so, I'll perform another Hajj. However, they heard in a lecture that, or their brother heard in the lecture that there is no second Hajj. The money is best spent on Sadaqah. Is that true? It's better. You can do Hajj. Like, remember the thing about Hajj is, الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. That an accepted Hajj, there's no reward for it except for Jannah, right? Paradise. In another hadith, من حج ولم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. Whoever performs Hajj and he does not commit any sin or immorality, he returns like the day his mother gave birth to him, meaning sinless. So of course we sin all the time, even after Hajj. And that's why there are many people that like to do Hajj every single year, because they're worried about their own sins, so they want those sins forgiven. So it is recommended, of course, to do Hajj as much as possible. Okay, Ahsan Rauf says, why do we hear ulama, mainly from Pakistan, say that smoking is makruh rather than haram? Okay, some of the earlier scholars, you know, maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, when the harms of smoking were not known, right? They weren't known that much in those days. And so when smoking first came out, the worst thing that you could think of with regards to smoking, the worst effect of smoking that was known to people, was the bad breath. And so many scholars performed qiyas with onions and garlic. Right, to eat onions and garlic, you shouldn't go to the masjid after eating onions and garlic. Because, why? Because other people are harmed and the angels are harmed from that bad breath. So onions and garlic, eating them are makruh, okay, if you're going to go to the masjid. And so based on this, many scholars said smoking is makruh, because they looked at the asl, which is onions and garlic. They looked at the hukum, it's makruh. Why is it makruh? Of course, we're talking about raw onions and garlic, which may have that smell, okay? Why is it makruh? It's makruh because of the smell. And angels are harmed by that which humans are harmed. That's the reason. And then smoking, does it have the, you know, a displeasant smell? Of course it does, it's disgusting. And therefore, they said that they made qiyas with onions and garlic. Because the scholars of the past, they did not know that smoking has, you know, very clear-cut evidence that it harms a person's lungs, it harms a person, you know, it can cause cancer, it can even cause death, you know, so many deaths around the world every year because of smoking, all right? So at that time, they didn't know this. So they could make a qiyas, an analogy with, you know, onions and garlic, for example. But now we know that smoking kills. Smoking is very harmful. And so we must also make a qiyas with an analogy with something else that has similar properties, which is that quality of harming you, you know, significantly, and therefore we can make qiyas with slow killing poison. Okay, another question comes from Karima. What is What about the wasted money for cigarettes? Is this a reason too why it's haram? Allahu alam, I don't know if the scholars would use that to say that it's haram. But like I said, it's enough to say that you know, it harms you. Nazam Khan says, Salaamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Can we perform Hajj on behalf of a dead person? Yes, you can, as long as you have performed your own obligatory Hajj. If you have done that, because somebody asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the same question, if you have done that, then of course you can perform Hajj for another person as well. Okay, we have been streaming for quite a while. I don't know if this has come in two videos or one video. I'm hoping it stays on one video. But if not, then we'll label it part one and two. I'm your brother, Abu Abdissalam. If you have any questions that you have, you can write them in the comments below and I'll try and look at those and then ask them in the next show, inshallah. Once again, I'm your brother, Abu Abdissalam, speaking to you live from the blessed city of Makkah, Makkatul Mukarramah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.